live from our living room, it's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long-distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long-distance, marriage, and relationships.
Hi, and welcome to episode 6 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today we're going to be talking about a rather hot topic, and that is porn. If you follow us on Instagram, which is at Mr. Mrs. Distance, you may have seen that we've had some questions in our stories, we've had a post. We just really wanted to get the community involved in talking about, well, sharing their feelings about porn in general. It is very controversial in the sense that people get very heated about their opinions about it, and we just wanted to have a conversation about that in a no judgment manner. We firmly believe that whatever is right for your relationship is right for you, and that's fine, but there just needs to be some communication about it, we think is the main key to this. So I think we wanted to just start with sharing some of the answers and some of the questions that we posted. Is that right, babe?
Yeah, so we asked a handful of questions on our stories, just as you said, so that we can get people's feedback on this. We wanted to see. We've seen people on both sides of it who think there's, you can, well, more specifically, it's not just about porn, it's about porn in relationships.
Yes, yes.
So we've had people who are very firmly, there's no place for it, they consider it to be cheating, and then we've got people who are much more sort of liberal about it and say it's great. So the questions specifically that we asked were, would you mind your partner watching porn? What concerns you about porn in your relationship? Would you watch it together? Have you discussed porn with your partner? And would your partner be okay with you watching porn? So then we got some really interesting answers to these. So as far as concerns, it's the people who, and not everyone did have concerns, plenty of people.
Yeah, some people said like, nope, nothing, it's fine.
But the ones who did, I think the trend really was that it's more specifically the concerns related to the man in the relationship as well, that he would be more attracted to the girls with a different body type.
So these are concerns of the girls about the men watching it.
Yeah. Okay. Someone else said they'd be concerned that their husband's lusting after someone else, and also that it gives men and women unrealistic sexual ideas, which I think is a valid concern.
Mm-hmm.
To the question, would you watch porn together? It was very much a mixture of no, never. Yes, but we've got different tastes. Someone had just openly said they're insecure, so they wouldn't be aroused by it. So that was a real mixed bag of yes and no, which was the common theme. I think we expected that.
Yeah.
And then we also had, have you discussed porn with your partner? We had yes, extensively. all of them have said they have discussed
it. There was one that was funny in there. What did they say? It made us kind of smile.
Oh, they said, only once, very briefly, I'm thinking about bringing it up again after these questions.
That's great. They're thinking about talking about it based on what we said. Or just our questions, really.
And then the other question was, would your partner be okay with you watching porn? We've got yes, I don't think so, as far as I'm aware. Definitely not.
There was he better be.
So again, most people, yes on that one. So
Was there one more? Would you be okay with, or did you already say that? Sorry.
What one?
Wasn't there one you did? Would your partner mind you watching it, and do you mind your partner watching it?
No. Would you mind your partner watching porn? Okay.
We did ask that, didn't we?
We've done that one. Okay. So no. That's
no, you
fine.
Wouldn't
particularly mind. More detailed answer was, I'm all right with that, and he himself told me it could never replace the real physical touch, which I think that's a point that we need to come back to. Yeah. And that's really important.
I think there was one there also, sorry to interrupt you, but there was one that I thought was really important that was, no, I wouldn't mind as long as he didn't lie to me about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
We also had a definitely not. In my mind, that would be him lusting after someone else and saying I'm not enough. So again, that really comes back to an insecurity factor that I think is important to touch on. And then he also had a really good response on Twitter. So I won't read all of this, it's a long answer. But the gist of it was, this person made the point that porn's become much less of a taboo now. And for her husband and herself, it was a conversation whether porn was being disloyal or not to the relationship. She said he asked her that question. She had never thought it was disrespectful, but she saw him asking as even more respectful to her than he asked in the first place. And then she said, for me, the distance is hard enough without having to be abstinent, even though I largely remain so. He's far more sex-driven than I, and if he goes too long without getting something accomplished, then he gets on edge. He has enough to worry about.
Getting something accomplished. Yeah. That's a very kind and mannerly way of putting it.
So she said, he has enough to worry about with work and everything, that I would much rather him be comfortable and happy in our distance than frustrated. I do, however, see why people think it's unfaithful watching other people engage in such a usually private moment. And then she made a really good point that these are essentially actors. They're being paid to do this. Mm-hmm. And she says, as long as he's happy and he doesn't actually have his hands on another person, then I'm all for him being happy. So,
well, it sounds like that's a really healthy... She's got a mixed opinion about it. Like, I can see, yeah, it kind of is this. It's kind of...
I think it's important that whatever your actual opinions are on this, it's going to be good if you can acknowledge both sides of it. Because, and I think it's also one of those conversations where seeing the opposing side can just sort of plant some seeds of thought.
Well, yeah. And I think that's an adult way to look at things. And if you are in a relationship that is sexual, and which means, you know, either you're watching porn, your partner's watching porn, you're not, maybe it's porn's not a part of it. But I think if you want to be in an adult relationship, you have to look at things like an adult, and that is looking at both sides of things and trying to understand both.
Well, I think, first of all, that this topic has so many caveats. So before we get into it, we need to just point out that we're not talking about the morality of porn. We're not talking about children watching porn. We're not talking about porn addiction.
Or people watching porn about children. We're not getting into
any of that. But I think, so really, I think this is an important topic. I feel like we know a lot of people who... porn is a big deal in their relationship in terms of one of them is not happy about it. Usually the man keeps it a secret that he's watching porn. The wife has no idea, or girlfriend, doesn't have to be married, has no idea that he's watching porn. And some people we know or have heard, we've seen a lot of this online, that they just don't want their partner masturbating at all. So there's this issue, and I think, I don't think there's right or wrong on the activity, you know, getting their rocks off, watching porn, whatever it is. But if it's secret,
that's bad. Yeah, I do. Communication. Before we get too far down the rabbit hole, I do just want to share some of the responses that were from just the actual Instagram post, so not the actual Instagram story.
Mm.
So on our post, we just put a big question: does porn have a place in relationships? And just invited people to get involved. And again, we had some really mixed answers. Some of them, obviously, you have a bit more space just in the Instagram comments, so people were able to go into a bit more detail than in our stories. So the question, does porn have a place in relationships? One person said, no, not at all. And we said, would you like to explain more about that? And they said, because if you're sexually not satisfied in your marriage or relationship, then do something about it. And then someone else said, pornography is mentally distorting and toxic. It does not belong in relationships and should not even be watched by anyone in or without a relationship. Which is quite a strong opinion, but completely valid for them. And someone else said, I say there's nothing wrong with porn. My husband watches it on his own. I watch on my own. We watch together. It's helped answer some deep questions about different pleasures and limits and even fantasies. And I think that's really great. I mean, sex is a huge part of your relationship. And sometimes, you know, some people are shyer than others. Even if you have a really great connection in your relationship emotionally, some people aren't comfortable talking or find it hard to get the conversation going. And, you know, talking about porn or even maybe trying to watch porn might get someone, I don't like what that, you know, that's not something I like. Yeah. Or
I think, well, this is a fairly new phenomenon, I think, you know.
Porn?
Yeah, because.
Or how available?
Well, both, because, yeah, the availability of it goes without saying, but equally the format of porn now. So it used to be, I mean, when I was young, the only time you ever saw anything close to sex was the sex education video you'd see at school, which obviously was not at all sexual.
Rousing, yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, it was, you'd be lucky to get pictures in a magazine. And so it's all static imagery.
Yeah. Nowadays, yeah, I'm sure you remember how hard it was even to look in a magazine that was covered. Sorry, go ahead.
But nowadays, everything, you just got this readily available library of videos of any type of sex with any fetish you can think of, any anything you can think of, there's a video for it. So in terms of what you were just saying about opening dialogue, all of a sudden people nowadays have the opportunity to say, this is almost like a learning experience. So if you're someone who maybe has sort of if you're somewhat sexually repressed, or if you are really just not really aware of what options there are with sex, you know, things like maybe toys or positions or, you know, anything like that. You know, all of a sudden you can watch this and, oh, that looks quite interesting. And it's a way of giving you, it can sort of inspire you to try new things that you would never have even thought of as being an option.
That's before. True. On the flip side, though, if you are a little bit maybe sheltered from the different possibilities in sex, like you said, toys and positions and things like that, I suppose it could be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, does he or she expect me to do this, or would I be okay with it? So I think.
Well, and this is where communication is so important.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you, I can imagine if you're in a relationship where one of you is reluctant on porn and you agree to sit down and watch it, and the first thing your partner shows you is an orgy.
Yeah.
You know, then.
No, you can't.
you don't start swimming on the diving board. You know, you have to.
No, I genuinely think, well, this is from a woman's perspective. And, you know, we'll venture into kind of my personal feelings and my, I don't want to say journey with porn, because that sounds like it's a really huge part of my life, and it's not, but just, you know, how I've kind of felt about it. But I genuinely think as a woman, if I were with a man, or if you and I went back to the beginning, whatever, you just have to, babe, would you watch porn with me? If that person, if you're okay with it as a woman, you definitely want to ask, and your partner should be kind of courteous enough to show you very vanilla, loving, safe kind of videos. Yeah. I mean, it should be, I think you probably want to watch something that just, which is similar to what you and your partner do. So if you are a missionary couple and that's all you do, that's 100% fine. As long as you're happy with it, watch something like that.
I think a step before that, we had a really interesting response actually on Instagram. It was a private message that we got from someone who said she doesn't like porn, but, and I think this is a viewpoint we've not seen so much of. She's fine with her husband masturbating and herself doing, and she says they both have pictures of each other that they would use. So that's obviously an agreement they've come to themselves. I think,
yeah, they've, and in a way, you know, that,
that's kind of their own porn.
Yeah, porn of each other.
Which is fine. But so I think the conversation to be had first really is asking your partner if they like porn. Not will they watch it with you, but whether they, like, could women watch porn?
Or if they're curious, maybe, is a safe question.
Well, I think before that, though, the point I'm making is, if you're going to be insecure about your partner watching porn, that's a conversation you need to have early on. I don't mean in your relationship in terms of let's watch it together, this, that, and the other. Is if you're with someone and you know that you're not going to like it if they're watching porn on their own, you need to know that. That's a conversation you need to get out of the way. Because I think if it's a security issue, to me, that feels like that's something bigger in a relationship that can be difficult. If porn is just the way of highlighting that insecurity, porn's not the issue. The issue is that you've got an insecurity that I think is important to deal with, rather than just saying, I don't like that, let's avoid porn. Porn's not the problem.
Or I don't like that and you can't do that.
And this is what I was going to say was, if your partner says, I like watching porn, I watch porn, it's unrealistic, I think, to expect them to stop. Now, there may be some people who will say, that's fine, I'll stop for you. But I think in a lot of times, you'll get, this is where you have those problems in relationships where someone says, okay, fine, I'll stop. And then they go behind your back.
Or they do stop and they find it a struggle, or they resent the question. Now, and this is where kind of the question of necessity and, you know, potential addiction kind of comes up. Like, is porn necessary? Well, you know what? I think men are much more visual in particular. I know a lot of women are too, but as, you know, parts of the species, men are more visual. And you've explained that to me, you know, throughout our relationship, that it can be a bit difficult sometimes. I don't know if men are as creative visually in their mind. Do you know what I'm trying? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just, whether it's porn or whether it's some anything else in a relationship, if it's not unhealthy, I don't really know if it's healthy for a relationship to go in and say, I don't like that you do this, you need to stop. That shouldn't be the dialogue, which isn't to say there shouldn't be a conversation about whether or not they should be doing it or how you feel about it, but you can't go in all guns blazing, can't do this, I don't like it.
You can't tie it all with the one brush.
No.
And I think addiction's an interesting one. I found it, what Terry Crews has said about porn and how that nearly ruined his marriage has been really interesting. So, you know,
what podcast did he talk about that on? Just in case
he's done it on a few. He spoke about it. Was it on Anna
Ferris? He talked about it on Anna Ferris's podcast, Unqualified. But was it Tim Ferriss?
It was either I think it was Tim Ferriss.
We would really recommend that.
I've also seen it on YouTube. He's spoken about it in quite a few places where, you know, Terry Crews is saying a lot recently about toxic masculinity and sexual assault in Hollywood.
He came out and admitted that he'd been assaulted.
Yeah, and as part of that conversation, he's been very open about how he had a porn addiction, how he was keeping that from his... So he had a wife and kids. He was very successful. But he was keeping that from his wife. And I think porn addiction gets to the point where you're sneaking off while your family is home to watch porn, which is not necessarily the same as a healthy relationship with it.
But I also, just on that, I'd like to add, Terry Crews is beloved. You know, he is, obviously we don't know him as a person, but as a personality, you know, he's very generous with his time. He does great interviews. He's a very engaging character. He doesn't seem like a bad, nasty guy. So I think these people that have really dark and kind of black and white views about porn is bad. You know, look at this guy. Like, he seems like a nice guy.
Is that a throwback to the 80s when to watch porn in the past, you had to go down the seedy part of town into the dark video store with, what are those plastic things in the doorway? You mean like...
What, the beads?
Beads or like the plastic flaps. You have to, the whole thing, you know, I mean... I never had to go in one of those stores, but there it's very stark difference to that was what porn was.
Yeah, but even then, the people viewing it, if they were addicted to porn, doesn't mean that they are a bad person.
No, but I'm saying that I think there is still, for some people, a hangover of how you perceive porn, and people who watch porn...
Being a very seedy
thing.
Oh,
well, yeah, it's a seedy thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, I just think, you know, it can be an aspect of a person's life, just like alcoholism or drug addiction. Like, people are doing things that... You know, you go down a path and you end up going down the dark side of the path.
But I have to say, I think I haven't really, since we opened the question up to people, I've developed like a great sympathy for people who have an issue with it because it's so prolific. It's not like
porn is.
Porn is, because it's not like so many other things that person has to leave the home to do something. If you're addicted to fixing your car, whatever. You have to go into the garage or you have to go somewhere. Porn, like, you can be sitting next to your partner on the couch and they can be reading a porn story. They can be watching someone naked on Snapchat. There's so many ways now you can access porn in all different types of ways.
And do you think that's good or bad?
I think it's great if you're into it. But if you're keeping that from your partner, or you are the partner who is insecure about it, literally nowadays, your partner can be right next to you. And you've got no idea, are they watching porn?
It's that fear, yeah.
And I can't really think of many other things where you have to... If you don't like something to that extent, what else is there that you can be that paranoid about?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's things that you can obviously not like. Like, say, if you are really opposed to swearing, but it's not the same
kind of personal... But you'll hear them swearing. Yeah. And if... if your partner's obsessed with video games, you can see them playing video games.
Well, I guess masturbation is the next closest thing, because
even then they have to leave. Well, presumably they're going to leave the room.
Or if you're at work, kind of thing.
This is what I'm saying. So all those situations, you are not physically with them, or you can see them doing it.
So this, what you're saying is, it can be happening all around
you. What I'm saying is, you could be sitting next to, you could be out for dinner, your partner could be on their phone, and they could be on a porn site. Doesn't have to be a video website. They could be, I mean, like, you know, there's porn on...
Well, Instagram's borderline porn.
Exactly,
in some
Instagram's borderline
now.
Porn. Snapchat's borderline porn.
Bordergram. That could be a new porn site.
But you can read porn. You know, there's erotic all over the place. Reddit's... So it's not like... You can be in a restaurant and think, oh, he wouldn't be watching porn opposite me because everyone can see the videos. That's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So I just think this is where my sort of sympathies come from, is... You can so easily consume porn everywhere, the click of a button on every device. And if you're worried about that...
You're going to be constantly worrying, yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about, firstly, how we feel about porn as individuals, because we haven't really touched on that yet. And also a little bit, we're not going to go into much detail, but about if porn has a role in our marriage.
Yeah, and I think, just to elaborate on that... One of the things I found for research in this episode was an article on couples that do use porn, how they use it, and I thought we could just sort of touch on that a little bit. So for anyone who's listening to this and is currently using porn and is thinking how they could use it differently, or anyone who's curious, or anyone who says, I've never used porn, but actually you've persuaded me, maybe we can talk about it. Just some potential ways it can.
Yeah, so we'll definitely touch on that. But firstly, I want to ask you, and I'll share my first memory. Do you remember the first time you saw porn? Whether it was a picture from a magazine, a still on a website, or an actual video, whatever it was.
It would have been a magazine. I remember, it would have been a magazine, I'm almost 100% sure, but anyone listening, I appreciate a lot of people listening.
A lot younger than us.
Know what I'm about to say. Floppy disks.
But porn on floppy disks.
So you have the floppy disks that went into the computer, right? So for anyone who's, under 30?
Late 20s, maybe?
It doesn't know what. So floppy disk was like a memory card, but it was huge.
Yeah.
And you could
before CDs were used.
It was before CDs.
When you say floppy disks, you mean the ones you could, the huge ones you could bend, or the small ones that were about that big, that you were hard plastic?
What?
Okay. There was I think there are different types of discs that predated, like DVD or CD-ROM, basically.
Yeah.
But a floppy disk were actually, almost the size of an half the size of an envelope.
Yeah, the big square things.
But they were bendy.
Yeah.
And then there were the harder ones that were a little bit smaller, and they were, hard plastic, and you couldn't bend them.
No, well, it doesn't matter.
No, I just was having a bit of a flashback.
Anyone who knows what a floppy disk is will know what it is. But, so you could have, I don't know, they didn't have much memory on these things. You'd end up having, a million of them to have 20 pictures. I mean, they weren't just used for porn. We used them for everything. You used to load your video games on them, and they were just backup. But in school, there was always the kids who, I don't know how they got their hands on porn, but they would have floppy disks of porn. So they'd go into the school computers and put it in.
And did you do this?
Well, no, but you'd see it, is what I'm saying.
So is how, this is when you were first being, you realised this was
a thing. Yeah, sort of first exposure. Was probably so it was school, so pictures would have been circulated. Pictures on the floppy disk.
How old do you think you were at this time? Sorry,
Early teens,
so 13, 14, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Which is another issue nowadays. I couldn't imagine being a parent now, where you can be 8, 9, and you're on your phone and you're seeing horrific images. But I digress. But so for me, and I think a lot of people my age, that was our first introduction to it. Was just images that were being passed around. Video. I mean, because we were around for the advent of video on mobile, and it was shit, wasn't it? I mean, it was just, people don't understand, the screen was an inch,
maybe. And you'd get maybe 4 seconds of video allowed on your phone at a time.
Well, memory was we so didn't low. Really well yeah if you stored the video, but I mean, it was just the screen was green. It wasn't color, so it was an inch tall. It was green. It was just awful, so you couldn't watch anything on that.
But you actually had video capability on that.
Yeah, we had better phones in the UK than you did.
It doesn't sound like it. There's no point in having a video screen.
It wasn't built for porn. But
you talk about Nokia screens you could play Snake on, that kind of. Oh,
yeah,
that's silly. Don't bother.
Well, exactly. So it took a long time before technology sort of got anywhere close to where it is now.
So, do you remember the first time though? Back to the questions when you saw it.
I don't remember the first time. Oh, you know what? I had a friend, same age, and I don't know which we saw first, but he. He figured out his mum's PIN code on their cable TV.
Right.
So he could get the adult channels.
Okay.
So, but even that, I mean, that was, by today's standards, it was pretty vanilla. It would probably be softcore.
Yeah, okay.
So, it was around that age where you had to work hard to get porn. And it wasn't anywhere close to what you see nowadays.
Yeah. So I remember, this is just kind of, but we're talking about really bad screens and stuff. I don't, back in the days of old school cable, I don't know if it was the same for you growing up in England as it was in America, but we had a switch on top of it, a little box that sat on top of the TV, and it was only a couple inches by a couple inches, and there was an A and B.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, it was two different antennas or something like that. And I remember on one of them you got less channels, because it was probably the more premium cable, packages or something. And we got a couple channels, and I remember there were some that were really fuzzy, and not much, there was never much noise, but if I, and you couldn't really see what was going on, you'd makes a very vague shape of just movement out. And I remember it just being on, and my brother was home, and him saying to his friend, I'm getting pretty good at watching this, and as a 6-year-old, I'm like, yeah, me too. And there was nothing pervy about it, I was just walking through the room or whatever. And now, now that porn's become so much bigger, I'm realizing that was probably how teenagers in the mid-90s had access to porn.
That's what happened in America.
You literally, I don't want this to sound really inappropriate, like my brother was doing anything inappropriate with me in the house. You literally could not make anything out. There was just fuzz.
Do you remember American Pie?
Yeah.
The opening scene of one of the opening scenes of American Pie, the original one, where he's watching exactly that and he's got the sock on and his parents walking in. Like, that's...
I feel like, I don't really remember that scene vividly, but like... It was just coloured spots. It's like when you look at it's like looking at the sun.
Porn then, and I think this goes back to that sort of that legacy I mentioned. It was a taboo thing. It was hidden. People didn't talk about it. And now, I mean, we spoke about this recently. We watched that TV show about parents who were given access to their children's devices. And they're still, that kid was what, 10? And he's following like models on Instagram who are sending him, pictures that you shouldn't be seeing. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you have to have the conversation about this at a much younger age. So porn is, I think there, it is amazing to me that porn is so available.
Yeah, because like I remember...
I mean, that's great if you are that 13, 14, that's amazing. But actually, if you think about that objectively, it's kind of nuts. Like, it's an age-restricted... product, I guess.
Or it should be.
Well, it is. It is 18 plus. It's 21 plus. Yeah, but this is my point. Like, it is legally age restricted, but actually,
you can get it.
We never have to put our credit card numbers in to access it. You can search for anything on Google, and it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was growing up, when the internet was sort of hitting its stride, so to speak, filters were. Like, everyone's got filters. Mm-hmm. Like, parents always saying, oh, and we never had one. I remember my dad saying, like, there's no point having them because you've only got to put a different word in. Like, yeah, it may block sex, but if you put boob in, you're going to see tits and then you're going to get to porn.
Mm.
So they were just not very good. But there was.
Well, I don't know. Like, I had AOL. My parents had AOL. So, like, you could put controls over the. Like, I had my own little account and I couldn't. I mean, not that I tried, but I remember trying to get to just like. Maybe a site about a movie or something.
Well, this is the other problem, is they're either so restrictive that you can't see the internet, mm-hmm. or they don't work properly. But yeah. I mean, that you can't... What else can you do that with? You can't go and watch... you can't even go to the cinema to watch an age-restricted film without ID, but, like, porn is just there.
Yeah.
For anyone to watch. And kids now have their own tablets, and they're on the iPads, and they're... Like, It's kind of nuts, but...
It's everywhere.
Never had a puritanical view of it, but, I do think if you take a step back and think about it, it is quite ridiculous how porn is just everywhere.
Yeah.
And that must be desensitizing. I mean, we saw that show... I mean, speaking about when we first watched porn and it being so vanilla and it was really just, oh, my God, that person's naked, you weren't really watching them have sex. In fact, I remember someone at school... gave me a video. This was like it wasn't an amateur, this was a professional like porn video. And you didn't see any penetration. It was all like the camera would say the guy's getting a blowjob, the camera would be looking above, so you'd see her head bobbing, but you wouldn't see any
actual genitalia.
Yeah, so it's very like.
So it could have not actually been happening, potentially. Like,
yeah, exactly. It was very suggestive rather than visual, if you like. So, that kind of, but then, we were talking about this last night, that. There was that TV show we watched about, it was about sort of sex in schools and what kids know. And there's now 11-year-olds who are watching so much porn, they think it's normal that, oh yeah, you come on her face and like threesomes happen. And you think, like, yeah, people do all those things, but that's not run-of-the-mill, everyday married sex.
Yeah,
and that's the perception that these kids are now getting.
Well, I think that's where, the comments we've had about, no, porn is toxic, people shouldn't watch it at all. I can kind of see, like, I don't necessarily agree that that's true, but I can understand that when you hear kids saying stuff like that, like, kids don't understand that.
No, kids aren't developed enough to know.
And a lot of men, young men at certain ages, aren't either.
And the problem is, to me, there's no balance in weight. There's no counterweight to that argument because, like... Well, maybe porn is forcing the conversation at home, but someone has to then have... The kids are seeing that porn and saying, okay, that's what sex looks like. In some cases, it can be quite degrading. That's what sex looks like. So is that forcing the conversation at home with the parents to say, this isn't normal? Like, this is the equivalent...
Did they talk about it?
This is the equivalent of watching a Hollywood action film. It's not real life.
Yeah.
if they're not having that conversation and kids just think, oh yeah, this is normal. Like, you know, when you're a kid and you watch, like, you know, Rambo, you think, oh yeah, this is what fighting
is.
This
is realistic, yeah.
Like, and it's not. And obviously the porn is realistic to the extent of some people, there's always someone who will do anything and yeah. This is really happening. But to think you're going to have your first girlfriend and that's what it looks like. And then the flip side of that being the girls are also watching this and thinking, oh my God, is this what we've got to do?
I don't know if girls are watching it as young. That's something that I wasn't able to find.
I don't see how it's even avoidable.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what kids are like now, but I mean, it certainly wasn't anything that I looked at, you know, until I was a young, like,
yeah, but we early were 20s. At school before.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what it was like, but I do think.
But I can't imagine these videos aren't being sent around on Snapchat. Like, probably, oh, look, Sarah, you need to do this on Friday. Like,
I don't know. We can't really speak for that, but maybe.
If anyone knows, send us a message and
tell us. How are kids dating and how is porn involved in that these days? But yeah, I mean, it's not so much. I mean, yeah, obviously the children, you know, sneaking a glimpse of it when they're 11 and 12 is 100%, I think, a problem. But what also, even if it's someone who doesn't see it until they're 15 or 16 and maybe doesn't have, you know, a girlfriend or boyfriend and stays a virgin for a little while, if that's what they're looking at for a few years and that is their, oh, this is reality, you know, this is my, that's their sex life. Their sex life is watching whatever they want mm-hmm. from as kinky as they want from, mm-hmm. I don't think all porn is degrading to women because they are paid actresses and most of them,
well, maybe there's not feminist all of them, porn and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I think the majority of them, I'm sure there's some who haven't, but the majority of them have chosen to be there. And, you know, maybe they don't like their job, but they've chosen it. You know, I don't want to get into the, oh, they don't want, maybe they've been forced into that kind of thing. But there is stuff that is definitely degrading to women.
Yeah.
And if that's what they're seeing and then they think that's okay and that's their sex life, then they get into a relationship in a position where they are going to be having sex with a real human.
Well, I think,
and that's what they expect. That's scary.
The degrading point, I think, isn't so much, the worry isn't so much whether the people doing it are there by choice. It's the people watching that, how are they being affected by it? Because you're right, they're probably there by choice. You can get off on all sorts of kink in the situation, but if someone is watching that who shouldn't be watching it, and they're thinking, this is normal, that's what I expect from my girlfriends and or mm-hmm. boyfriends or whatever, I think that's where the problem comes in. And I think for me, like, it's sort of, I think just the great fun of, like, growing up was all this mystery and curiosity and, like, trying to get your hands on those magazines. And
I think that still exists, but I think it ends at a much younger age now.
Well, it must do, because now it's like, oh, I wonder what woman's got under her top. I'll Google it. Oh, shit.
I mean, I remember, you know, I was a teacher for a few years, and I taught 7th and 8th grade. And I remember being with my friend who was also a teacher, and we were in the bookstore. This is when I still lived in America before I'd moved here. And we were just looking at, you know, it was that Hastings. You know, they sold books, music, DVDs, whatever, cards, magazines. And we were looking at picking out some, like, greeting cards, birthday cards or something. And opposite that was a wall of magazines. And, you know, the porn in America, I don't even know if they sell porn magazines in England. I've never paid attention.
We have porn magazines.
They're in, like, plastic, see-through plastic covers, but then there'd be, like, big colored things blocking out so you couldn't really see anything other than the title and maybe a woman's face.
Yeah, that's basically what we do.
And I just remember, and I did it as a little kid because I was like, what's behind this? Like, I didn't know, I wasn't a sexual thing. I was like, why are they hiding something from me? And you pick up a magazine and you try to pull the plastic cover back a bit and peek down through to see what's in it. And we caught
you had to work for it.
Yeah. So my friend and I are there looking at birthday cards for someone. And we look, and she's like, those are my students. And there's, like, three boys over there trying to peek down the magazine. And they look, and they go, oh, hi, Mrs. So-and-so. And they run off, and we're just like, well, that was awkward. But, I mean, that's kind of teenage porn for young teenagers is like, is trying to sneak in the magazines. I remember my first kind of experience of seeing a pornographic image. I must have been 12 or 13. I was in junior high, and it was an art class. So that's usually a classroom where there's less direct supervision because you know, you're creating stuff and the teacher's walking around doing whatever, instructing, not really instructing, but just checking what you're up to. And a boy had a tiny clip out of a magazine, and you know, like, pick, like, wallet size pictures, you know, it was that big. And I think it was a guy getting a blowjob, and it was just this, you know, obviously static image. And that was my first glimpse, I think, of, like, male genitalia. and anything remotely sexual. I mean, it's pretty tame. Mm-hmm. Like, but I thought, holy crap, like, this is what people look at. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, 12 or 13 year old me, very sheltered, relatively religious upbringing, but not hardcore religious, but raised in the principle. So I was like, oh, it didn't freak me out or scar me, but I just thought, that's crazy. And then I didn't really think about, see, hear about porn, and or at least that I'm aware of, until I was probably 16, 15, and I had my first, like, serious as a boyfriend can be at that age. And I don't remember how the conversation came up, but maybe I asked him, you know, do you watch porn? And he said, yeah, I do. When I can, obviously, because it's trickier back in the early 2000s. There's one family computer and smartphones, no tablets. Maybe someone has their own laptop, but I don't think he did. And he said, yeah. And I didn't like that. And he's like, okay, well, would you mind if I read literature that was, you know, stimulating? And I said, I think I'd be more okay with that. So there's two real key things I think about this. He was respectful to say, okay, but would you mind if I did this, and suggested an alternative, which I think that's really mature for someone that age. And a lot of people, even in an older relationship, wouldn't do that. I think that's really good. Mm. But also, I think that was my first sexual relationship, and I was very insecure about it, and I was very young. So I think there's a lot to be said about the insecurity of being that age and the first time you're encountering these kind of things, especially for women. It can be scary that you think, oh, this is my boyfriend and I want him to be obsessed with me and he's looking at other women and da 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 da. But I don't know that in every case that it's that deep rooted for a man. It's just visual, in a lot of instances, I think, just visual stimulation.
So, well, then let's talk about the insecurity side of it, because I think this is really important. So I think this is really important in the sense that this seems to be the big issue for couples where porn is an issue.
It's insecurity.
Insecurity. Yeah. And I think, I kind of feel like either person can be insecure. I'm not going to say the women are insecure. Yeah. I think if you look at porn, a lot of the times the men are in pretty decent shape. They're pretty fucking well endowed. You're not, I mean, you know, Ron Jeremy is a bit of an outlier, I think. You're not really watching the dregs of mankind.
Yeah.
With stumpy little dicks who can't perform. But, you know, you're watching, like...
Didn't Ron Jeremy have a huge dick?
Yeah, he had a huge dick, okay. But he was ugly as sin, and he was overweight and stuff, you know. But you're watching...
It was the 70s, wasn't it?
It was the 70s. But, you know, typically you're watching...
Really extremely fit people on both sides.
Exactly. Who are able to perform in a way that you can't. Because, you know... From a man's point of view, from the insecurity of a man's point of view, you have to remember that, because we've watched some documentaries like Louis Theroux and stuff like that. We're not watching porn documentaries, but Mr. Thorax. But one of his shows was on porn.
The porn, and specifically the porn industry of San Fernando Valley, California, which is not far from where I grew up.
Yeah.
And it's at the porn capital of the world.
Yeah, but anyway, the point I was going to make was, what was interesting about that was, the finished product you see of porn is great, but actually the making of it, it's like they're stopping. The guy can't come, or he comes too quick, and that's in two shots. And so
it's not glamorous.
But it's not that it's not glamorous. It's that the guys doing it having performance issues in a lot of cases. But you don't see that. So if you're a guy watching porn, you're thinking, oh my God, they've gone for like an hour. And he's still going. You're not knowing that it may be his fourth take. Yeah. Maybe he couldn't finish, you know, whatever it might be. And then from the woman's point of view, as some of the messages we had before this episode was, you know, is he lusting after that woman? She's in better shape than me. Maybe he's going to run off. So there's security on both sides of it. And I think
there's also the, yeah, I mean, the women are.
But what I was going to say about the insecurity was, I think if you're the insecure party in the relationship, I think that can be damaging for the other person in that relationship, because I think 9 times out of 10, they're not doing anything wrong or to hurt you, but they're potentially suffering from your insecurity. So I think that is...
How do you think they're suffering from the insecurity?
Because if it's in a way that they're being forced to change their behavior, or I imagine that insecurity manifests in other ways other than just watching porn.
I'm not really sure what you're
saying. If you're an insecure person, like
I'm insecure.
Where does it end? Is what I'm saying. Like if you're insecure and we're out and we pass an attractive woman,
okay, are you so going to be thinking porn necessarily?
Are you going to be thinking, were you looking at her? I mean, we see this.
Or a long-time female friend texts you. Oh my god, exactly.
I said she yesterday, didn't I? I was on Reddit, and there was a I guess a gymnast. It was some woman dressed up as Mrs. Incredible when she was doing like cartwheels in the splits through Walmart, and she's dressed in like skin tight lycra in this costume. I was thinking, well, yeah, she's an attractive lady. That I imagine there are some women out there who are thinking this is in the same spectrum as porn. You're not allowed to watch that. Is that turning you on? Like, if you're insecure, I can't imagine that the insecurity turns off and on at porn.
Yeah, but insecurity is a very complex issue, and you can't just, well, you're just being insecure, so it's not an issue. I mean, it has to be worked through.
I'm not saying dismiss it, but I'm saying if you are insecure and you know yourself enough to know that you are insecure, I think that's something that needs to be addressed independently.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, this isn't any. Wow. That's not anything to say about the. If you're morally opposed to porn, that's a different conversation. But if your argument against porn is, I don't want you looking at other people, men or women, I don't know how. Is that a counseling issue? Is that just sit down and talk honest with your partner? Because I think the root of that is you think they're going to be more attracted to that person than me, they're going to leave me for that person, or someone who does. Yeah. Do they expect me to do the things that porn stars are doing? Those insecurities, so those things, I think, are a conversation.
Yeah, I do agree.
Because you're not watching porn to think, I'm watching porn because I don't like my partner. You're probably watching porn because you think it's in the same way that you'd watch a film for entertainment, maybe, or you might be thinking, I think some is fantasy for a lot of people.
One of the things that I can totally relate to, and I've had friends that I've discussed this with in the past, and it's not just the porn aspect, but also I think the masturbation aspect as well. For women, you know, if you're a woman with a healthy sex drive, traditionally, and I don't mean to generalize and gender stereotype, men typically have a stronger sex drive, a more frequent need for sex than women do. Not always, especially when women are younger and at the beginning of a relationship, but just kind of as if, just a little, for the sake of argument, I guess we'll say that. But if, you know, if a woman is always willing whenever her partner is willing and initiates and stuff, I think it can be a bit hurtful some women can find it hurtful that, oh, well, I do everything you ask. I keep up with you sexually, and yet you still feel the need to watch porn. What am I not doing? Why is that not? I thought we were doing great. Can you shed, I know you can't speak for all men, but can you shed any light on kind of why a man would want to still watch more when, or see more, masturbate more when his female is completely and 100% satisfying his needs? Because that happens. Men are...
Well, I imagine if he's been 100% satisfied, he wouldn't. And I don't mean they're not being very good, but if she's amazing, but it's happening once a month, and he needs release more often than that, then it's not 100%.
Well, I mean, so let's say a healthy marriage, sex.
No, because I think this comes down to individuals. There are going to be some men and some women who need sex twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be some people who need sex much, much less frequently. If you're person A who needs sex twice a day and you're with person B who needs sex once a fortnight, it doesn't matter how good that person is. It doesn't have any bearing on your feelings towards that person. It doesn't mean you've got any desire to run away. But you still need to be satisfied more often than they're doing it. So it's not a problem.
But
and you can be open and honest about that and just say, well, that's fine. I'm gonna watch porn and do this on my own, and the other person can be fine with it. Or the other person will say, I'm not happy with that. I'll sort you out twice a day. Or you reach a compromise on it.
So you think that if a man is being...
I don't think it's just a man.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair. So if a person, male or female, in a relationship is getting sex as much as they need it, they will not watch porn.
Well,
like, I'm not... Obviously, okay, you're not the authority. I'm so just talking about it.
They may watch... Okay. I think you can watch porn without masturbating to porn.
Okay.
So, can you be 100%...
Just for shits and gigs?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
probably not often. But yeah. I don't think everyone watching porn every single time is doing it to get off to. But if your sexual needs are being met 100% every day that you need them, why would you be masturbating afterwards?
Okay. So then...
But I don't mean that to be that the person who... If you're the person with a slightly lower drive or you kind of... I don't mean they're doing anything wrong. And I think that can be an agreement that you come to in your relationship. Where it's like, okay, I need a bit more than I'm able to get. Do you mind if...
Yeah.
That's the conversation. Yeah. If they do mind... And you're happy to compromise, and you say, fine, look, I'll go a day without, and you do it a day more often than you otherwise would. And, you know, that's just, there's always compromise in relationships.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when we were, you know, kind of doing some research this episode, I was looking at all kinds of different articles and posts that accounts were making. And something that I saw a lot is about porn being an escape from reality. And I thought that was interesting because, first of all, we do a lot of things to escape from reality, not just in a sexual way, and it's not considered bad. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, when we went to Mission Impossible, we were not thinking, this is realistic.
Yeah, or when you read a book, you know, I mean, I've been through periods of, like, anxiety and depression in my life where I find a book series and I cling onto it for dear life because it gets me out of my head.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with fantasy and escaping reality unless you're escaping reality because you don't like your reality.
Yeah, but I couldn't quite wrap my head around that because... Well, I guess now's probably a good time to explain the role that porn plays in our marriage.
Well, no, but I think before we get there, I think I can see the logic in that.
Yeah.
Sex being a fantasy, because you watch things in porn that you're not doing, I think, you know. Because you can also do it from a safe distance. You might think, oh, I am going to watch that orgy. I wouldn't do it in real life because...
Whatever reason.
I'm worried I'm going to catch something from these people, or I'm insecure about my body, or my partner doesn't want this to happen. There can be any number of reasons. And sometimes everyone's got fantasies, porn or not, everyone's got fantasies. And sometimes the fantasy is better than the reality. So you can have the fantasy of, oh, I've got a fantasy of, let's just stick with orgies, fuck it, let's stick with it. That's my fantasy. With no inclination to actually go and do it,
mm-hmm.
You've got every right to watch it. You've got every right to enjoy it. You've got every right to... keep that distance, but enjoy. And that, I think, is the good side of porn. You know, they've done this with video game research, right? That, you know, you can play violent video games and it's a release for any violent tendencies. And same people who do sort of violent sports and boxing and martial arts, they say actually it works as a release for some aggression that person might have. And they said it can be similar with porn. You just think, if let's say you're single, right? You're not having any sex. And porn's there, and you can explore your fantasies in this safe manner in your own home. I think that's brilliant.
Mm, yeah, I can agree with that. But what about, I think what people get upset about is, okay, say your partner is curious about orgies, doesn't actually want to do it, but, you know, is going to watch some porn about it.
Yeah.
If the other part of the person in the relationship is morally opposed to orgies and thinks they're dirty and filthy.
Yeah. I can totally see why.
There's shame and judgment.
But even if there's not shame and judgment... I can totally understand where the insecurity comes in there, because you might think, well, I'm one person, I can't give an orgy without other people being involved in this, am I not?
And
enough?
Maybe you don't want to welcome other people in the bedroom, and power to you, you know?
Yeah, so that's a tricky one. I mean,
yeah, not saying we have the answers, we're just opening the conversation.
I mean, to me, the answer to that is, I think it's a problem if the person with that fantasy says, I want to have an orgy.
Yeah.
That's different. If they say, yeah, look, I'm watching orgy porn, I think they're entitled to do that.
And I kind of do too.
I think that comes... If you're the person saying, I don't want to have an orgy, and I don't want you watching porn, I'm blocking off every avenue for you to explore that fantasy. And I don't agree with that.
And I agree. I agree with you that I don't agree with that.
But I do understand why... I'm thinking about the messages we've received. I can understand why those people with the insecurities... Would
not like that.
Would not like it. Yeah. I completely agree. But see that.
It's really hard because it's so easy in a relationship. And bear with me because it's going to be a bit of a
ramble.
Not a ramble, but just don't interrupt me because I'll lose my train of thought on it, kind of thing.
Sounds like a ramble.
It's not a ramble. It's exploring something. Well, now you're already making me fucking forget because you just won't shut up. In a relationship, it's so easy to think about your own needs and how the insecurities affect you. But the other person in the relationship is going through the exact same thing. And if your partner does want to watch, for instance, an orgy and knows that you don't like that, then they've got their own insecurities and guilt and shame going on. And a relationship may be one central function, but you are two individual people and you still do have to let your partner be who they are. And you cannot control your partner. Obviously, they need to respect your feelings and your insecurities, but the only way around that is communication. Babe, look, I don't actually want to have an orgy, but I'm curious about it and I want to see it. I know you're really opposed to it. I would never make you watch it with me. I'm not doing anything. You know, there just needs to be that reassurance around it. I don't want any of the people in this, but I'm curious about it. We are curious creatures, but you cannot force your insecurities onto your partner. And that is not their, it's their problem in the sense that you have it and you're in their lives and you have to take care of each other. But just because you're insecure about it doesn't mean that they have to never explore these things.
Yeah, and how often do people end up looking elsewhere because they're not happy at home? And I think,
yeah, and not just because of sexual things.
No, but I think while we're on the subject of sexual things, it's if you're fine, you may be with the person who says, I'm happy to do nothing that would upset you, fine. But I think in a lot of cases, there'll be people who would feel like aggrieved or resentment that you're saying, well, you're not letting me do that. And I think that is when you run the risk
of the, damaging. Of them,
they may wonder, they may go behind your back, or they may not. They may just shut down and think, well, you know, fuck you then. You know, that is where you said you're individuals and
you're allowed to be curious. And that's something that,
but that's why I think having the insecurities is a problem. I don't think being insecure about something is an excuse. Like, I don't think I'm insecure, the end. I think is I'm insecure, how do I overcome that?
Or how do we find something that we're both happy with compromising on or whatever? Or something.
Yeah, sure. But then that's still, to me, that's still working on it. I don't think insecurity is
no
end of chapter. Yeah. You can't do that. So how do you, I think, what are you insecure about? I think if you're in, I think we can try and tackle some of these. Like if you're insecure about, if he's watching porn or she's watching porn, they want to be in that situation. I don't think that's true. Like, let's stick with the film analogy. I do not want to be in a war situation, but I can enjoy watching those films.
Yeah.
You know, there can be catharsis in it. Fine. It can just be fun to watch. I think from a sexual point of view, from a porn point of view, it can be almost, this is quite interesting. Like, I'm never going to see this in real life. That's quite interesting. Okay, but it can, like you said, it can just be visually stimulating. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean if you're watching that person on screen, you want to be having sex with that person. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times you'll be watching porn and you will be, I think really what happens is you imagine yourself with your partner doing what you're watching.
Yep.
And I think that for anyone who's insecure and hasn't thought about porn, I don't think you know that.
Yeah. And I want to say something based on what you're saying right now, but I don't think it'll make sense unless we talk about.
Well, why don't you say it? We'll see if it makes sense.
It won't. We need to introduce that porn is a part of our marriage.
Yeah.
It has been for almost,
it's a few years.
It's, I'd say it's more than it hasn't. I think we'd only been married for a year or two. It's not.
No, we didn't watch porn in our first,
second flat.
Was it?
Yeah, and we had our first wedding anniversary in that flat, so it was pretty early on. So, I think we have a healthy relationship.
I remember watching it there, but it doesn't matter. But yeah.
That was the first time I'd actually watched porn with you. So, it is something we will watch together. And it's something that we'll watch on our own, me probably less than you, and that's fine. I don't worry about you watching porn. I don't think I ever did, really. I think I always
knew. You've never asked.
I assumed.
Yeah.
And I was okay with that. I guess I am just so secure in our relationship. Maybe that's because of everything we overcame in the long distance thing. That, right, we're here, this is safe, we work really hard on our relationship.
Yeah, by the way, can I just interject on that? If you're listening to this, and you've overcome a long distance relationship, you do not need to worry about porn.
Well, again, that depends on each situation. If there's an addiction or someone's unfaithful, yeah, then yeah.
But you do but not need to worry about, oh my God, in an everyday relationship.
If you've trusted him or her.
If you've been like apart for prolonged periods of time and you've close that distance. And you've overcome all that. You do not need to worry that, oh, he's going to watch porn, she's going to watch porn, and not want me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen.
If he or she has been patient and faithful and dealt with the distance with you as you went through this, yeah, he's not going to leave you, or she's not going to leave you because they watch porn.
Yeah.
Anyways, but what I was going to say before, I said maybe wouldn't make sense until we disclose that, yeah, we do watch some porn, is that what helped me, you know, this is maybe a bit of a tip for a girl who's insecure but would like to...
Or a boy who's insecure.
Or a boy who's... You know, I'm being very sexist. I'm being really sexist, and I don't mean to be.
Our next episode's going to be on bigotry.
All I can really do is speak from my experience, and that's been in a female-male relationship, yeah. And I can speak for myself. But if you are insecure, this actually probably is more applicable to women because it's harder for men in porn. harder. What helped me was choosing a video where I felt the woman slightly resembled me, maybe just hair, build.
So it's easier for you to see yourself, that happening to you?
Well, or? No, it just made me feel, firstly, she kind of, not looks like me, but she's my type. I feel better about you watching that.
Right, right.
I feel better that you're looking at a girl who is what I like to think your type, which is me.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it just didn't make me feel so far removed from it. So when I say this is either, there's a lot, you can have big-breasted women, you can have blondes, you can have super skinny, really curvy, but there's not much choice in terms of men in porn.
No.
So when you were saying, like, oh, if you're a boy or a girl, it's harder for a guy to say, I'm more comfortable with that because he looks like me. You kind of get what you get with the men in porn.
Yeah.
But for women, maybe that would help you. Or women, I don't know if we've discussed this on the podcast or if we were talking about this the other day, or maybe I was talking to a friend. Women in general, I think, can appreciate the beauty of other women. The female figure is a lot more attractive in general than the male figure. It's a beautiful shape. Even if, you know, maybe there's a girl that you think is sexy and you would like to see her enjoying herself. Maybe that's a way to segue into it and just be a little bit more comfortable. But yeah, I feel like porn in our marriage is a healthy use.
Well, the point you were going to make that wasn't going to make sense, would it make sense now?
Yeah, so I already said that. So that was basically that it...
Were you picturing...
It helped me to have someone that, yeah, I felt was more similar to how I look.
So I think...
Obviously in much better shape than me.
But. I mean, that... Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think there's any number of ways you can watch porn. So for us, I mean... I think porn for us was just sort of a bit of fun.
Yeah, I think...
We went at a point where, like, we need...
No. We were early on in our marriage. We were very sexually charged.
I think we just thought this could add a fun dynamic.
It was you.
Yeah, it was
you
me.
You said, you know, what are your thoughts on porn? I said, I don't know. It kind of... Not creeps me out, but I don't know. It seems weird.
Because your attitude to porn has changed. You, like you said, you find it weird, but you couldn't watch porn to get in the mood back then.
Yeah,
you
I had to already feel like I was in the mood.
So there was a level of, this, you know, anyone listening to this thinking, oh, it's all right for you guys to say that, you've always, there was
a level I was cautious about watching. I didn't know if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But you were very gentle and being like, hey, you know, I think this would be fun to try. You might like it. It wasn't
and
like.
And you always choose what we watch.
Yeah, I do. I get the power over that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're someone who's insecure, maybe watching it with your partner is a good introduction.
Yeah, and like you said, people might be thinking, oh, it's easy for you to say. I used to be extremely insecure. I mean, I still am in some ways, but I used to be really insecure. And I even told you, you know, when I was younger and with a different guy, I didn't want him watching porn. But I think the older you get more comfortable, not only in your skin physically, but, you know, emotionally, philosophically, you just get more comfortable with who you are and you feel less threatened by, you know, outside forces, whether that's other people, porn, whatever it is, you just get a bit more comfortable. So I was growing into myself, our relationship, I felt very safe and secure. We were having fun sexually. And you said, hey, let's look into this. I don't think I said that day. Yeah.
Oh, it took a little while.
Yeah. We had a few conversations around it and I said, oh no, I'm thinking about it, but I don't really know. And you weren't forceful, but you know, you brought it up a few times in a respectful way. And then one day I was like, okay, yeah, let's try it. Or I think I brought it up. Like, should we try this? And I was a bit like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do this. And it was fine. And, well, obviously more than fine because we continued to watch it.
Yeah.
It's not something by any means that is used every time we're intimate.
It's just something else. And sometimes it's fun to watch porn and that's just what gets you in the mood.
Sometimes just like it's fun to get dressed up or sometimes it's fun to bring out a toy. It just, it's another tool in the bedroom to keep things fun.
Yeah, I think it's more of a sign of a healthy relationship if you're not putting these limits on. Sometimes we'll dress up, sometimes we'll use to, sometimes, not us, anyone, you know, it's sometimes we will do X, Y, or Z. I think that's healthier than we always need that or that's completely banned from the bedroom.
The interesting thing is something that we've done that I've realized that was unintentional. I think a lot of people in their sex lives get to a point we're having a problem, whether that's someone's is bored, someone's unhappy, or it's not happening enough, and then they introduce toys, outfits, porn to try and spice it up. We started very early on, I'm curious about this, let's introduce this in the bedroom, whether that was a toy, an outfit, or porn like we've discussed. So, and I think that's great because I think every sexual relationship will get to a point where things maybe get a little bit stale, but hopefully introducing it earlier on keeps things interesting for longer before you have to get to that.
Yeah, and then you don't have to worry about, oh, are we only doing this because it's a crutch? Oh, and now we need it.
No, I think a healthy sex life involves lots of different elements.
Yeah, I think you have to keep it fresh. And I think one topic we can talk about is different ways you can use porn. So
one last thing that I would like to say on this before we get down that. I know people who have heard, you know, friends, acquaintances, when we've said, oh yeah, we watch porn together. You do? Yeah. Mm. Do you not? No, I don't need that. Well, neither do I. But yeah, you also don't need chocolate. You don't need ice cream. These things are not fundamental to your life, but you enjoy them. And variety is the spice of life. And treats are fun. You can have treats in the bedroom, and that's great.
There's a huge difference in what you need and what you want.
Absolutely.
And if you're talking about sex, and if you're assuming yourself to need, you will be the shittest person to have sex with. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, you'd only do it to have a child. That is the real... When you get down to the need of sex...
But even then, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, one position? Like, fuck, I can't imagine... I can't imagine that mindset. Or if I don't need it, I'm not doing it. Fuck. Like, don't get out of bed in the morning. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's just not like, about what you need. It's about what's... I mean, we're complex creatures.
And we're only on this world for a short period of time. Fucking enjoy it.
Yeah.
How about negative? You know, we had some comments that were very, on the social channels that we talked about, very one-sided, on the anti side. And again, we respect those opinions. But, you know, some words like toxic, for example, we have a really healthy relationship. We're a normal couple. We overcame a lot. Yeah. And it is a part of our life. And there's no toxicity in our relationship.
I think porn's like anything else. Like, view it like you would view it alcohol.
Yeah,
like,
it could be a huge problem.
Alcohol, porn, they're just sort of inanimate. They're nothing. They're just there.
It's a thing.
You know, porn doesn't bring itself into your life. You have to look for porn. You have to open that beer. Yeah, you could end up with an alcoholic. You could end up with a porn addict. But that doesn't mean you distrust anyone who has a glass of wine. You know,
it's all about your intention with it.
It's about intention. It's about if you see it becoming a problem, then you can flag. And by the way, you know, if you're open about porn in your relationship, you will spot your partner becoming, you know, developing a problem sooner because you'll see it.
They know they can talk to you about it.
Well, they know they can talk to you, but if your partner is having to sneak off and you don't think they're watching porn because they've told you they won't and they're lying to you about it, like, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
Whereas if you know porn, and I can't imagine they're less likely to develop a problem if they know they're in a sort of safe environment.
Maybe, I can't really say that, but it would make sense.
But I don't think porn itself is toxic. I think porn can be toxic, like we spoke about before, if you're too young to be watching it, if porn is influencing your idea of sex and love and relationship, that can be toxic. I think your partner watching a bit of porn, you bringing porn into the bedroom, that's not toxic.
No, porn itself, I mean, obviously certain types of porn that are very wrong, illegal.
Yeah, we're not talking about, you know, degradation.
Yeah, or stuff you find in the dark web, things like that. No, but I don't think the type of porn that we're talking about in itself is not toxic. I think the insecurities, lying about it, and stuff like that can make it toxic. So I can see where those people are coming from, but if you use it in the right way, it can be a really fun part of your relationship. So let's talk about some of those ways.
Well, I think,
go ahead.
Well, the one way I think is interesting is I think every person relationship likes to see their partner really turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can turn your partner on and fine. But if you're watching something with them that really turns them on, that should be a turn on for you too. So I just think try that. Watch something that your partner picks, something that they want to watch that you think is going to, they think is going to turn them on, and see how you react to it.
Another way to use it that might be a bit more, might be good for people who are maybe a bit nervous about it or haven't watched it before is, you know, if you want to try some new positions, maybe rather than looking at the Kama Sutra or the Joy of Sex, which, let's face it, those pictures are all very funny and you end up giggling more than anything when you look at them, maybe just pick a nice porn. There's porn that is like in the romantic or female friendly category that's usually quite loving, and they do lots of different positions, and then maybe think, oh, I like that, let's try that one. Doesn't mean you have to do it then.
I mean, something we've never done, but along those same lines is, you know, people will watch porn and they'll sort of follow along.
Act along.
To the video.
I think that's probably for people who are a bit more comfortable with it, maybe further along into the porn journey.
Yeah.
But I think it's, I was kind of thinking for people to get started. Like what you said, I think that's great. Getting turned, just see the pleasure of seeing your partner super randy.
Yeah, use it as a tool. Just, yeah.
And you don't even have to watch the whole thing. Once you feel your partner super turned on, turn it off if you want. It doesn't have to be there.
Yeah.
And then just build, make your own little, not make your own video, but, you know, act out your own thing there.
Yeah, because, I mean, going back to what you said about the positions.
It's great inspiration.
Yeah, because you're not really going to be reading the Kama Sutra. You're not going to be making up your own position. And I think after a little while, it's a very common problem in relationships that you kind of get stuck in a rut. You stick to
do the same things.
You stick
yeah.
to what works. You watch a bit of porn and think, that looks interesting. Should we try that? And you can talk about, oh, I don't want to try that one. Or,
Absolutely, do that.
So it helps communication. It helps you spice things up. I think if you're just only viewing porn as my partner's looking at someone else, that's not okay. Then you're missing out on all the other potential aspects of it.
Well, it's like that comment that I read that someone put on the Instagram post that it opened up a lot of conversations for fantasies and likes and dislikes, and that's great.
Yeah, and you know, if you're all about intimacy and understand your partner more and being close to them, porn should be part of that, in the sense that you sit down with your partner and say to them, you pick a video that you want to watch. You're going to get a glimpse into them and what turns them on.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be something that should scare you. Because
that is the most intimate thing, because that person is, when it comes to sexuality, I think that's kind of when we're our most vulnerable.
Yeah, but also, don't, like you just said, you'll see what turns your partner on. Don't be scared by that. Think, that turns them on. I can do that. You have all the tools that those people in the porn have. Maybe your boobs aren't as nice, but honey, you've got boobs.
Wait, that's a good point.
You've all got the same equipment. Yeah. Unless you're introducing like threesomes and stuff, then obviously there's not enough people. But you can do those things to your partner. Maybe if they frighten you, then you don't want to, but in terms of like positions and techniques and things like that, if you see that turns your partner on and you're comfortable doing it, do it.
Yeah, I think because if you completely block porn out, what you're saying is we can figure all sex out by ourselves. But I think also I think the question to ask is, am I being selfish by not letting my partner have this in their life? Because you said, you know, something that turns them on. Are you letting your insecurities say, this is making me selfish because it's me having a problem with this is stopping the person I love
from enjoying something,
from seeing something, enjoying something.
And also, you could be losing out on an opportunity to make your partner really happy. Like, you know, a huge part of your relationship is you love that person, you cherish them, you should worship the ground they walk on. And you want to do things to make them happy. If there is something you're willing to try it. And you might see that from watching a video. Obviously, if there's something that terrifies you or you have serious hangups about, or perhaps you have trauma in your past, that is something we haven't touched on. Some people may have sexual trauma and it could really upset them to see that. Then you know what?
I mean, this whole conversation is we're talking generally. We're not.
Yeah, but I think we should also just acknowledge not everyone's as lucky as us.
But just on the insecurity point, for anyone who's worried that they're looking, I have to say, like when you finished and you turn the porn off, the people you've just watched are no longer in your head.
Mm.
You're not walking away from that video thinking, "Yeah, I'd like to take them out for dinner."
Yeah, I'm
like they're
gone.
They're gone. You know, so that's and I don't think relationships should be built on depriving each other of something.
There are going to be boundaries,
and there are going to be men who don't like porn, there are going to be women who don't like porn. If you find each other, great, you've got no problem. But, you know, porn's so popular for a reason. People like watching it. Yeah. You know, this proliferation that we talk about, porn infiltrating everything, because people like porn.
Mm-hmm.
So don't delude yourself and think, oh, my partner's one of the 0.001% who has no interest in it. Maybe they are. Chances are they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, chances are one of the people in the relationship is going to be at least interested or curious. Yeah.
And you know what, you want to be the partner that other people are jealous of. So if you're like, oh, yeah, my partner's fine with porn, we use porn, we do this and that.
Yeah, but now everybody's comfortable talking about that, too. Like,
even if you're the one who knows about it.
Yeah.
Even if it's a secret.
You can strut your stuff,
knowing. If you're hearing a conversation like, oh, yeah, my wife doesn't know this, I have to keep this a secret from her, she doesn't know this. And you're thinking, my wife's great. we do this, this, and this.
You haven't got to
tell them.
Moral of the story, be cool, guys.
Yeah, so I have an article.
Oh, do we have any other ways to use it?
That's what I'm going to be looking for now. I think there was... So I found an article on Cosmo. I don't normally read Cosmo, but...
Cosmo Girl.
So someone... One of the ways people use it is what we said. They said... they use this especially helpful for shy individuals because it breaks the ice of discussing kinks and fetishes, even ones you may not be aware of yourself. And none of what they now like would be known or enjoyed in their solo or joint sessions without porn being achieved. So I think that's important. Like, porn can start a conversation of, that looks quite interesting, are you interested in doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the same way that, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon has, and it's like, oh, I wouldn't mind being tied up. You know, you haven't got to go and get your own pleasure room and $1 million worth of dildos.
A headboard and a rope's plenty to get fun.
It's just a conversation like, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind being tied up, whatever it might be.
Spanked, whatever.
So let porn
introduce
start
you.
That dialogue. So another way, I think we've touched on this as well, is that it allows you to get an idea on what you enjoy and what your partner enjoys.
You can also get tips from it. Like, I think I mentioned earlier, like techniques. Like, you might see a woman doing, maybe, you know, performing oral, where you see something that looks interesting. Oh, maybe I'll try that on my partner, or vice versa.
He seems to be enjoying that.
Yeah, or vice versa. Sure. She seems to be enjoying that. I'll try that on my partner.
But this one, this particular comment is interesting. So this article says that whereas watching porn on your own is just a get it done quick release, porn with my husband is more of a sexual adventure. It steps up the foreplay and the dirty talk. Plus, it can be fun finding something new and exciting to enjoy together. There's something intimate about sharing the vulnerable side with each other. Like, I think for people who are worried that porn is toxic and a problem, they're not thinking, like, how can this make us more intimate?
Do you feel that it can make people closer?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I think, because it's... I think if it can do one, it can do the other. So in the sense like, oh, it can be toxic, it can do this. It can do that because it's able to influence.
But it can be nurturing too then.
Exactly. So if it's able to influence and you've got no counterweight of someone saying, okay, that's not... Like we said, if you're 14 and you're watching all this porn and there's no one telling you, that's not really going to... You know, it can be an influence. So it can also be an influence when you're in a relationship and that's stable environment. So that looks quite fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind trying that if I didn't know that about you. You know, so I think, yeah, I think it can be.
And that can be a turn on, finding out just something new. I mean, especially people that have been together for a long time, it's exciting to learn something new. Like, anytime you tell me a story that I didn't know about or something that you've always been interested in, that's a turn on. Oh, I feel like I know you even more now.
Well, and that's, again, that's in this article quite a lot, that people are saying that it makes you feel closer by knowing that they're sharing their private desires with you.
Yeah.
But, and this is a point that no one has mentioned this to us. I've not seen this in any conversations, that there are many things to laugh at together in porn. So it creates bonding moment over something sexual. That's true. Like, a lot of porn is shit.
Oh, and the sounds that people make, like, are ridiculous.
If they try and build a story into it, they're overacting with the sound. Yeah, definitely.
The music.
So it's not like, you don't really get sucked into the world of porn, because there's something key back. There's something that holds you back and think, oh my God, this is terrible. Yeah, it's still nice to look at. It's arousing. But you're not like, you don't think you're having sex with that super
hot
person.
And even the ones that are, you know, aren't stupid and maybe are really well done, there is a clear division between you and the screen, because, you know, there's the music, there's the lingerie that not everyone wears every day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So there is a division.
Well, that's it. I think sex can make sex an event. Like, you're going to have your everyday sex, and it's going to, but every now and then, make an event. Yeah, break out the lingerie, put the candles on, put some porn on in the background. Just let it be part of the atmosphere that it can create, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, that kind of stuff can go along with making your own porn scenario. Now, I don't mean making your own porn video, because that's not something, like, honestly, that's not something I'm comfortable with. And maybe some people are, and that's freaking awesome if you are. But if you have the candles and you have some music or something, then it'll kind of almost feel like you're creating your own little porn with your partner, even if there's none on in the background. Like, that's fun. That's a little adventure. Something you can work on, you can do together.
So, what would be the one, if you had one takeaway for people listening to this to leave with, what would it be?
I guess I would just say that you have to talk about it. You know, if it's something you haven't talked about yet already, just like anything, any aspect of your relationship, it can be very powerful in a good way. It can be very powerful in a bad way. Porn, I mean. So talk about it, be open-minded, try not to be judgmental, whether you're the person who is really into it and your partner's not, or you're, you know, the other way around. But be open-minded, be respectful of each other, and go on the journey together. You know, make it, I think if you can make it a part of your joint relationship, that's amazing. If the hurdle for you is just to be okay with your partner watching it, again, you have to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And part of being supportive to your partner is allowing them to enjoy the things in life that they need, and part of that is sexual. So I would just, talk about it, be open-minded, and be respectful of each other.
Yeah, I think for me, whatever it is, good or bad for you, just make sure you're communicating it. But I think the main thing for me is, don't let your insecurities get in the way. I mean, if your insecurities just, if you're insecure, fine, but I just feel
maybe
like,
maybe figure out why.
Figure out why and ask yourself the question, is it reasonable? Is it unreasonable for me to project that onto my partner? But even if you're insecure, like, if you watch a video together, nothing happens. Like, watch it, give yourself the chance to think, actually, you know what, that wasn't that bad. I enjoyed that. If it doesn't work, just don't watch another one. Mm-hmm. Like, but don't, I think just don't limit yourself to say that can never come into the bedroom because I've got this insecurity. I think that for me is something that's important.
Yeah, definitely agree.
So I guess we're at the end of the conversation on that.
We're at the end of our porn episode.
End of the porn episode. But so we've started now, saying we're inviting guests on.
Hopefully get somewhere with that soon.
We've had a couple of applications. But I mean, so if anyone is interested in joining us on here, we can talk more about porn.
Or anything insecurities else.
Or anything else. But we want to make guests a sort of somewhat of a regular feature on here. So just visit our website, longdistancetomarriage.com, and contact us through there.
I just realised we forgot to talk about something.
What's that?
Porn, specifically in long-distance relationships. We wanted to talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about that. Ignore what I just said about wrapping up the episode.
Sorry.
I think porn, and I think this is short. And so if you're in a long-distance relationship, you've got no control over it. Your partner is probably watching porn, I don't think it's reasonable to expect them not to watch porn. If you're apart for months and years, you can't expect people to not watch it.
But phone sex,
if they want to.
Yeah, phone sex can be part of that. Someone responded, I don't know if you read this one out, but someone responded to the story saying, yeah, I'd be happy to watch porn together, but maybe not over Skype or something. That might be a bit weird, which I can agree with.
I can agree with that.
But yeah, just, I think in a long-distance relationship, there's so many struggles to already deal with. Pick your battles. If your partner needs a little bit of porn for some release because they're dying for you, that's perfectly understandable.
Well, that's a good point. Sometimes the need for that release is because of the person that you're with, but
you can
still watch a bit of porn.
If I've been out with friends or I've been away, like, I really miss you and I really want to be with you, and knowing that you've watched porn, like, it's because you wanted me, and that doesn't make me feel bad. Sometimes it makes me feel good.
But also, I think, not to encourage anyone to lie and be dishonest after everything we've just said, but if you're in a long-distance relationship, you are not going to know if your partner's watching porn.
No, you're being sneaky now.
No, I'm not suggesting be sneaky. I'm saying if you've got an issue with it, talk about it. But you can't expect them to... You can't expect to know if they're watching it or not.
Yeah, it's easier to hide. It's easier to not be a conversation, I guess.
So, like, I think have the conversation of, oh, you know, do you watch porn? Is it a problem? Are you have that conversation. If you're like, you cannot watch it. I think generally you're asking for trouble anyway if you've got that attitude in a relationship, if you are forbidden from
in the distance, can make it even harder. Because then your partner has nothing in terms of, like, excitement. I mean, yeah, they can masturbate, but they can't see you, they can't touch you, they can't feel you. You can have phone sex, which is amazing, which we will have an episode about, I'm sure, at some point. But, you know, well, let them enjoy something. They're miserable, they're apart from you.
Mm.
Let them have some kind of enjoyment sexually.
Well, actually, you know,
if they want to.
The other thing we've not touched on is...
So definitely not goodbye.
It's definitely not goodbye. A lot of people seem to have the idea that porn is cheating. So what do you think about that?
I think that's really tricky, because I think it can feel unfaithful if there's lies and deceit around it.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that if you've had a conversation and your partner's really not happy with it being a thing, and then you agree to it, and then you lie and sneak, or you've had a porn addiction. I think in more complicated cases, it can feel unfaithful, but I do not believe that it is cheating. I think that cheating is, first of all, has to have some sort of emotional thing. And I don't think people are emotional with porn. If they are, that's something else to look into.
Yeah, he's like going down the addiction.
I think if there's conversation around it and there's agreements that, you know, it's not going to happen and it's secretive, then that can feel unfaithful, and that can be definitely a problem. So unless there's a real weird circumstances where the porn stars are an ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend of your partner and they're watching that could kind of maybe be a little bit cheating. Or if it's someone they know and they find a video, that can get a bit hazy. But just watching normal porn online on a whatever channel, I personally don't feel that way.
Yeah, and so from what I gather, because I don't feel that way either, but from what I gather, the rationale is it's cheating because they're looking at someone else and they're getting off to it. So I can see the logic to it.
But
I think that the person that you're looking at, they're just sort of a tool in that moment. They're not there because, like you said, there's no emotion. It's like, oh, I met that person down in the bar.
And they
if you're doing it to their picture, that's, yeah, fine. That's
well, different. I even would say that it's worse that, you know, say a male man or woman is out on a night with their friends. They meet someone who's really flirty with them. Nothing happens, but they're very attracted to them. They go home and masturbate to that person's image and memory.
Yeah.
To me, that feels worse.
And you know what? So this... I think this is a really pertinent point. Anyone who says porn is cheating, there's no separation there from masturbating in general, because if your mind is not going to be empty.
Yeah.
You're thinking of someone.
Now, often your partner.
If you're thinking of your partner, you're probably thinking of your partner when you're watching porn. You just imagine yourselves in that situation. If you're picturing someone else when you're watching porn, or you're picturing someone else in your head, there's no difference to me. Like, if what's getting you off is not the person you're with, then you either view that as cheating or you don't.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say, I'm happy for him or her to masturbate without porn. They can use imagination. But not watch. What the fuck do you think's going on in their imagination? They're picturing someone or something.
They might be picturing you. Like,
that's what I just said. But then I think those people would be doing that with porn anyway.
Okay.
My point is, you're not doing it with an empty mind. Someone is in that mind.
Yeah, something's around, like, arousing
whether,
you.
Whether
in
you're
your mind.
Watching porn or not. And I think that's something to remember. If you're there thinking, oh, my husband or my wife is, or my boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, is cheating on me because I caught them watching, they're not cheating on you. And if they're doing that without porn, there's still something in their mind.
This gets back to that you cannot control your partner thing. Like, okay, take away the porn. What are you going to do? Get in their head and control what they think? You can't. You can't exactly. do that, and you shouldn't want to.
No, you shouldn't want to. And at the end of the day, like, they're coming home to you. They've chosen you. Like,
yeah.
There are things that you can give them that porn is never going to threaten to replace.
Yeah, and also, like,
porn doesn't cuddle you and keep you warm at night.
People can do so much worse things than turning on a video and masturbating. Like, if your partner is, like, if that's your biggest complaint,
right, yeah.
Like, you got it pretty good. Some people are with abusive, whether that's verbally or physically abusive, or really controlling partners who won't let you go out, you know, or won't let you dress a certain way, or, you know.
Or why don't you watch porn?
There's so many things that watching a little bit of, you know, tasteful porn, it's fine.
Well, and I think, I don't know why I think I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. I think we should reiterate the point that we're not talking about, you know, if you're down the addiction path. So, you know, people can be abusive, people can be alcoholic. Yeah, if you're with someone who is addicted to porn or has been addicted to porn and you're worried they're going to go back.
That's why I said watching a little bit of tasteful porn.
We're not saying don't have concerns about that. We're talking about if you're in a regular relationship, watching regular porn, normally,
yeah,
it shouldn't be anything to worry about.
Yeah, and I think it's weird if you don't talk about it. Like, if porn is not part of your marriage, that's absolutely fine. Like, if one of the partners has no desire to watch it, but you're fine with the other person watching it when they are on their own, that's cool. But I just can't imagine not being, like, that being communicated. Like, yeah, you know, like, if you're not in the mood, sometimes I watch porn, like, when you're not home or whatever, and I take care of myself, like, so what? Just chill out. That is my thing. Like, just chill out in your relationship. Like you said, your person has chosen you, and as long as they are taking care of you and loving you and supporting you and being a good partner in general, you know.
Well, you know what? Like, I think what also gets forgotten a lot is that, I suppose, for like almost everyone, you've been sorting yourself out since you began doing that. You can't really expect someone to just stop doing that.
You have a relationship with yourself.
You do have a relationship with yourself. And yeah, maybe that's important. I mean, it's not reasonable just to say, right, you're with me now. You can't cheat with yourself.
And I guess I guess what's always, the reason that I've never felt threatened by porn in our relationship is I know that 100% of the time, you'd prefer to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
You'd rather be having sex with your wife, but porn's kind of a nice second option, like when you're on your own. Mm-hmm. If I'm not around, or maybe I'm not well, or whatever, for whatever reason, I'm not in, you know, the position to be intimate. You're like, oh, okay, well, I guess I can do that then. It's not like you're driving sex thing, you know? And I think in most relationships, that's probably the case.
Yeah, I mean, if you're coming second to the porn,
yeah, then that's obviously an issue. That's not right.
That's a different thing. So, I think now we've wrapped it up. I think we've touched on the points we've forgotten about. So, yeah, we're looking for guests.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, so we're looking for guests. Longdistancetomarriage.com. Send us a message on there if you're interested in joining us. We're on Instagram at Mr. Mrs. Distance, all one word. We're on Twitter, Mr. _ Mrs. _ Distance. Not all one word. And I think I think this is a conversation we'd be interested to continue. So if anyone disagreed with what we've said, if you've got opposing viewpoints, if we've inspired you to watch a video together, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, we're going to go watch some porn now. Just kidding. Bye.